Every year, thousands of people go to their very first concert. Our boosted signal at large events means they can always call a taxi to get home.
Mom? Yeah. It was grand. Do you think you could pick me up?
Every connection counts, which is why Ireland can count on our network. Vodafone. Together we can.
Subject to coverage availability. Limitations and terms apply. See vodafone.ie/terms.
There's calls for a ban on the sale of energy drinks to young children in Ireland. And this is after two young men suffered cardiac arrest following excessive consumption of energy drinks. Take a listen to Professor Joseph Galvin. He's a cardiologist at the Mater Hospital, and he was talking to Jonathan here earlier this morning.
The trouble is that it's a little bit difficult to predict who can take the drinks and tolerate them well from the point of view of the heart, and who can take them and have a reaction such as this, which I should emphasize typically only occurs in extreme when people take very large amounts of the drinks. So caffeine is a direct stimulant on the adrenaline receptors in the heart. So that will cause an increase in the normal heart rate and occasionally put people into an abnormal heart rhythm.
So that is Professor Joseph Galvin from the Mater Hospital. The situation at the moment here in Ireland is it's currently at the discretion of shops if they sell energy drinks to children or not. But in the UK, they're looking to try and close. They're fairly close, actually, to banning energy drinks to people under the age of 16. So you might ask the question, are we lagging behind? Or should we have these fresh calls to ban the sale of energy drinks to young children in Ireland? Dr. Mary McCreary is a nutritionist and dietitian at the Consultants Clinic in Blackrock. Mary, do you support this ban? Like, should we have a ban on energy drinks here?
Andrea, this is a minefield all of its own. I'll try and explain a little bit that, first of all, there's no actual definition of what an energy drink is. Okay, so we have so many drinks on the market that might contain caffeine or taurine or vitamins or ginseng, and there's no actual definition of what's an energy drink. Now, when people talk about energy drinks, they can have either perceived or an actual belief in the benefits of it. So either as a stimulant or a performance enhancer or increased energy. But there's a lot of soft or sports drink on the market who have no caffeine in them at all, and they're still termed energy drinks. So just coming back to the caffeine a bit, at the moment, from the European Food Safety Authority, there's no evidence to actually restrict or to ban these drinks. Okay, that's number one. The evidence just isn't there as such. For something that contains caffeine, and again, so you're looking at different things between the caffeine content and the sugar content. Mm. So for something to be labelled high caffeine, and I don't want to get too technical with you, but it has to have more than 150 milligrams per litre of the drink to be labelled high caffeine. Now, that is the same as 2 cups of filtered coffee.
It's the same as 2 cups of filtered coffee.
Absolutely. So if you're looking purely from the caffeine content, which is where a lot of the worry comes in, is about the caffeine content.
Yeah.
Like your can of cola would have less caffeine in it than a cup of tea.
And as Joseph Galvin, Professor Joseph Galvin, mentioned a few moments ago, Mary, it was his concern was in some of these energy drinks is that the caffeine content is so high that it can put people into an unusual or a normal heart rhythm.
Now, again, you have to look at the different drinks and you look at the caffeine content. So standard nutritional information would be per 100 mils, but you could have a can that is might only 200 mils, or you could have a can that's 500 mils. Or I think the patients he was talking about, they had drunk a litre and I don't know how many other
cans.
Yeah,
they talked about eight to 10 cans of an energy drink and a litre of a fizzy drink.
There was an excessive amount of it.
Okay.
Now, the big worry, certainly from a nutritional perspective, is again the perception around these, and let's call them energy drinks for the moment, but usually if you see the advertisement for these high caffeine drinks, because the consumption of sugar-containing beverages has decreased dramatically over the last number of years. So you can get an awful lot of sugar-free but caffeine drinks
okay.
as well.
So just,
again,
can I ask, Mary, because I know a lot of this is, like, it can be quite technical, you know, and it can be sort of confusing for people. But in the first instance, the thing that I have found most interesting that you have pointed out today is that we actually have no definition of what an energy drink in Ireland is. Is that a problem?
That's exactly it. That's exactly it.
Yeah, that's a problem,
the problem
then, isn't it?
Itself, because you could have a can of soft drink that is sugar-free, caffeine-free, and it still would be labelled into this category. Now, the thing about a lot of these high caffeine drinks is their association with high adrenaline sports like motor racing and skiing and very high adrenaline sports. So it's given this perception of the healthy, active person. But in reality, the main concern is the consumption of these drinks with alcohol. And that's usually linked in with binge drinking. So if you're coming back to music events and concerts and sporting events where the alcohol is consumed with what we'd call these high caffeine drinks, but it's usually associated with binge drinking. So that's where the minefield is that, I mean, there's so many different areas of this category of what we'd call luxury food items.
Stay with us, Mary, if you don't mind, for a few moments, because I would love to talk to parents, I suppose, about this today and just get a sense from other people as to whether or not you think we should have a ban on energy drinks in Ireland. In the first instance, though, I think from what Dr. Mary McCreary has said, we need a definition of what they are, first of all. Tom Coleman is a health scientist and sleep coach. Do you think there should be some form of a ban, Tom, on these?
I do indeed, because from what I can see and what I can gather, there is emerging evidence which talks about the negative health outcomes of energy drinks. And if we talk about the caffeine content, I mean, look at the caffeine content of one of these energy drinks, and then we look at other beverages that these teenagers might be drinking during the day, like a can of cola, like tea, like coffee. And then when we add all that up, it's a huge amount of caffeine and usually sugar or another cocktail of chemicals that we're not quite sure what it's actually doing. But if you look at the evidence from the Harvard School of Public Health, I mean, they talk about the danger there and the emerging evidence that has negative health consequences like poor mental health, adverse cardiovascular effects, renal and dental issues. So it is having an impact. And I think that association there with alcohol as well is dangerous.
So should they even be, I suppose, if we talk about, as Mary mentioned, the drinks that are, you know, have a huge or have a high caffeine content versus the sugar content component of the drink, I wonder, should they be placed in a different part of the shop or a different part of the fridge? You know, not necessarily at the checkout where you often see a lot of soft drinks placed. They're a different product, basically.
They are a different product. Anything with that level of caffeine, and in England, in the UK, you go into the supermarkets there and you're asked for ID to purchase any of these high caffeine drinks. And you look at teenagers, and some teenagers take time to develop physically. And we look at body weight and the impact it will have. And there could be a vast difference there. You know, the amount of caffeine consumed by, you know, a young teenager could have a huge impact on their body.
Do you think, Mary, should people have to produce ID if they're buying a high caffeine content drink in a shop?
The labelling at the moment, and the labelling is very clear, that the high caffeine drinks are not suitable for either children, pregnant women or breastfeeding. Now, you've got parents in all of this. And I think parents have to step up to the mark as well about educating themselves about what they're happy for their children to be consuming. Now, from certainly the evidence I've seen, the biggest category of consumers of these would be the 18 to 24 age group. So you're not even looking at children or adolescents. You're looking at people who are buying it for themselves.
Okay.
So I think even if, you know, ID was asked, I don't know about that, I've never heard that, but even if ID was asked, they're not the main category in there either. But if a child goes in and buys one can of these a week, I can't see how it's going to do them any harm whatsoever. You're talking about maybe excesses. And the excesses, and for excesses, you have to have money. None of these drinks are cheap. And the money has to be coming from somewhere. So I think certainly that it's a combination of factors of, you know, and it's very easy to blanketly say, oh, no, we shouldn't have these, we shouldn't have that. But if you have one, it's not going to do you the slightest bit of harm. If you have 20 in a day, of course, it's going to do you harm. So, you know, it's all down to appreciation of where different foods belong. Overall, in the diet,
it's probably, as you said, it's an understanding of what's in the different drinks. You know, if so many of them are under the banner or in the fridge as energy drinks, so we don't, you know, as you said, we've no definition. We don't really even know what they are. Principal and host of the If I Was the Minister for Education podcast, Simon Lewis, is on the line with us, Mary and Tom as well. Simon, what are you seeing in the classroom?
Hi, Andrea. Nice to talk to you again. I think one of the things, if you're talking about minefields, you've got to look at healthy eating policies in schools. It's probably one of the more controversial policies one has in a school. But I think most schools do ban, you know, if energy drinks, most fizzy drinks. But it isn't an unusual sight to see, you know, a child walking in the morning with a can of something, kind of fizzy drink, and more recently, some of the more you know, brands of energy drinks that have been sort of popularized by social media. I think Mary's point there about parents stepping up is probably the right one, because they are expensive. And I don't think a child should be drinking fizzy drinks at, you know, 8:30 in the morning, really.
Well, I have a text here from a listener, Simon, actually, just to that point. The texter says, I'm a primary teacher, and year in, year out, I have to beg parents to stop giving their children high sugar and high caffeine drinks at school. The kids are bouncing off the walls, or else they're like zombies because they can't sleep at night, and it's actually so upsetting to see it as a teacher.
Yeah, that is the case, really, for us as teachers on the ground. You're kind of hoping people that make decisions for their children make you know, good ones. And I know how difficult it can be. Like, I have a 10-year-old at home who's begging me to have an energy drink, and I just don't let him. But I know I'm in the minority a lot of the time. He tells me with classmates and friends of his that are, you know, doing all sorts of things that we just don't do. I'm not sure. I mean, I'm listening to Mary. I mean, before I listened to her there, I would have been kind of going, yeah, just ban them. But it just sounds like that might be, you know, that might be a bit of a heavy touch.
Well, particularly when, Mary, as you said, the research shows the majority of people buying the energy drinks are in the 18 to 24-year-old age group. So even if we did bring in a ban that you have to be over 18, they're the predominant buyers of them. What's the response from Department of Health or those in government to this, Mary? Or is there any appetite, do you think, to try and get a defined definition of what an energy drink is?
Yeah, there is actually. I mean, and Safe Food have been very, very good in producing a number of documents about, and they revise it every now and again about what the evidence is showing and everything. And they would be the very ones, and they have some really, really good articles and surveys about from the science behind it. And unfortunately, you have an awful lot of people in the whole world of nutrition and health or whatever who really have no real understanding about the science behind it, and they're very, very easy to make an opinion, but it's not necessarily an informed opinion. So Safe Food are really, really good at keeping up to date with what the European Food Safety Authority and what the research is worldwide, and it's proper research. It's not just like Joe Bloggs did a little bit of research down in wherever, whatever. So I think it's really important that we go with the science, we go with the recommendations. But, you know, I do genuinely feel that, you know, if parents are concerned in any way about what their children are consuming, they are the ones in control of it and they need to make a decision. And certainly what the schools are doing is they're certainly trying to make parents think twice about it. And you will obviously get some parents that are going to object, and there's not much that you can do about that. But as I say, these are luxury food items and they should be treated as such a luxury food items.
Elizabeth is with us too. Elizabeth, you're a teacher and a parent. What's your attitude when it comes to energy drinks?
Hi, Andrea. Yeah, I'm not in favour of them at all, and I would certainly welcome a ban. I mean, I think as well, the problem with banning stuff is it makes it even more attractive. and that's something that, you know, that kids love. Anything that smacks of anything that's slightly forbidden, they want. But the thing is, the bottom line is, these drinks are junk and they don't exist for any reason. There's no nutritional value. They only exist to make money for the companies that produce them. So they can be marketed and packaged however they are, but no matter what claims are made, a child does not need, anyone, an adult even, we don't need this stuff. So I think that's, you know, we have to fight back against that terrible and insidious marketing. Because, I mean, if you look at, say, we'll say Monster, it's, you know, packaged brightly and it's got shiny colours and shiny cans, and, you know, kids want that sort of stuff. So I think, yes, there has to be a guideline, an age guideline, and I think they have to enforce it, because otherwise it just won't happen. And, I mean, you know, you wouldn't hand your 10-year-old, you know, a double espresso and say, there you go. You wouldn't do it. And yet, to open a brightly coloured can of Monster and say, there you are. Now, I have two teenagers, young teens. I have a 13-year-old and a 15-year-old. And I don't allow them drink Monster or any of that. I'm using Monster now as sort of a...
I know. Well, it has sort of become the... I know that the brand that people will be most familiar with. But
any of them, because the shops have their own brand versions as well.
Yeah.
But I don't allow it now. When they're not with me, I don't have control over what they're doing, but I've spoken to them about how bad they are. And I know my 13-year-old 2 years ago was given a can, and he drank not much, a couple of mouthfuls, no more. And he didn't finish it because he didn't like it. But he didn't, it was in the evening, and I remember it distinctly because he didn't sleep that night. And that was only after a couple of mouthfuls of Monster, but he didn't sleep.
Is that, I wonder, Mary, is there a case to be made? Like, is it just a lack of understanding on all of our parts that, you know, we don't know that the bottle of, you know, Coke or whatever can of Fanta equates to X amount of espressos, or the, you know, the bottle of Monster is how many? Do you know what I mean? Like, is that what it's down to? It's a failing in our own part.
Absolutely. And, you know, labelling is obviously very, very important. And just to clarify that it is very clearly labelled on these things that they are not suitable for children. So the labelling is there. And that lady said there, they need to control it. I'm not sure who she means by they. I mean, is this, you know, it's the parents that need to control it. And that lady is correct in saying she's not allowing it because she is the parent of those children, which is correct. But I would debate on another level. I mean, there's so much more to our food and our drinks than just any nutritional content. But that's another day's work there as well. But certainly, yes. And, you know, people will... I'm just taking this as an example now that, you know, people eat all this dark chocolate thinking that it's really, really good for them without realizing that there's more caffeine in their dark chocolate than there is in their milk chocolate. You know, so, you know, it's as I say, people are entitled to their opinion, but it's not necessarily an informed opinion. And it's in the overall context of nutrition, I think, that number one, we're not all the same. You know, we all are different body weights and different exercises and different medical conditions and things like that. So, you know, we can't just blanket, you know, just say ban this and ban that. It has to be in the overall context of things. Where do they belong in the diet? And as you say, that knowledge of, you know, how many people are sitting there having an espresso right this minute, which is exactly the same caffeine content as a standard can of an energy drink. So people don't see that at the cup of tea or the cup of coffee as being the bad bit, but the energy drink is the bad bit.
I have to say, absolutely fascinating, Mary, to chat to you today and to get your, you know, your insight into this. Texter says, children can only drink what you buy them. So if you start them on milk and water and just don't give them the junk drinks, don't have them in the house, they're less likely to drink them when they're older. Another listener says, I think it's very simple. Energy drinks are full of sugar. Don't drink them. Save money, your health, and just focus on drinking water. Texter here says, I was in the Middle East. I became addicted to Red Bull. I had about 4 cans a day. I ended up with type 2 diabetes and had 2 toes amputated. The Middle East put warning labels in Arabic. And after this happened, sales of Red Bull went down in the Middle East. One texter's experience. A statement in from Aldi. Aldi have got in touch to say they were the first retailer in Ireland to ban the sale of energy drinks to people under the age of 16 in 2019. This applies to drinks that have more than 150 milligrams of caffeine per litre. Mary, will you just tell me, is Mary gone? She's gone. I was going to say, what exactly does that equate to? 150 milligrams of caffeine per litre. You won't be able to buy energy drinks with that in it if you're under 16 in Aldi. 087 1400 106 is the WhatsApp number. Thanks a million to Simon Lewis there from the If I Was the Minister for Education podcast. Elizabeth, who's a teacher, Tom Coleman, and nutrition and dietitian at the Consultants Clinic in Blackrock, Dr. Mary McCreary.
Every year, thousands of people go to their very first concert. Our boosted signal at large events means they can always call a taxi to get home.
Mom? Yeah. It was grand. Do you think you could pick me up?
Every connection counts, which is why Ireland can count on our network. Vodafone. Together we can.
Subject to coverage availability. Limitations and terms apply. See vodafone.ie/terms.